This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Yeah, you know, when he came back, he really looked like he had been working. And that's the information we were getting in our little conversations with him during that kind of down period. And when he came back, he was in really good shape. You could tell he had been working drill-wise, weight room-wise. So, you know, real proud of what he's done to this point in the offseason. Continuing it now into the 3 weeks of practice will be important, and then on into the summer break.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott this week at OTAs. As the Bills opened it up. They're on the field again today, right? Just not open to the media?
Today's Thursday, yes.
Today's Thursday.
Today's the last day of this week.
Okay.
And then next week, three more days, we will have media again on Tuesday next week.
Okay. We'll see what attendance looks like then. Not that I would expect James Cook to be there, but you never know. Anyways, Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, good morning. It's a rainy morning again. The French Open this week, by the way, before we get to Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. And Jessie Pegula, I believe, just won her match.
She did this morning. She just completed it a little while ago. She has defeated American Ann Lee in the round of 64. She advances to the round of 32, where she will face Czech tennis player Markéta Vondrousová. And that will happen in a couple of, tomorrow, I guess, maybe it looks like. Either way, but it says May 30th, but because of the time difference. Anyway, she's on to the round of 32 at the French Open.
I'm glad you said who her opponent was and not me. I am so intimidated by tennis names all the time.
I had to look it up a few times to make sure.
All right, well, there you go.
I might even been incorrect, but it wasn't as tough as some of them. Markéta Vondrousová, I believe is how you say her name. But that's who Jessie Pegula's next opponent will be. Jess is ranked third in this entire tournament. She's third ranked in the world right now, which is still amazing.
All right, good to hear. We'll track that this week. Let's get to some football. Joe Marino from Locked On Bills, Locked On NFL Scouting, Squad Show with Jeremy, and Joe Ostrowski as well is now on the Wester Hotline. Morning, Joe. Thanks for taking some time out. I hope it's not pouring rain and cold like it has been here for, you know, the last couple days.
Well, we've had a good amount of rain here in the Charlotte area as well, but I will say, Joe, give yourself some credit, man. You say all these hockey player names. Yeah, I think you can handle
right.
These tennis names for sure.
That's right.
That is true. Yeah, I guess that's right. I guess if I just watched the sport as much as, you know, anyone else, then it would probably be the same. So that's right. Hockey, you definitely get a lot of that. A lot of consonants in certain names. So anyways, Joe, OTAs this week, and there's a lot of storylines to get to. James Cook not being there. Your recent show on putting the target puzzle together for the Bills, I wanted to get into a little bit. I actually wanted to start, though, with the injury news that we had this week about Joey Bosa already having a calf injury, hadn't even really got on the field yet in any capacity. And that obviously presents a question about his availability. And I wonder if your thoughts on how the Bills are set up to withstand injuries to Bosa. If his season goes, you know, something like what Curtis Samuels looked like last year, where maybe he's in the lineup here and there, but you're always wondering how healthy he is. How you feel about the Bills' edge group as a whole if Bosa becomes less reliable than we'd hope?
Well, file the Bosa calf injury firmly under things that are annoying. That's not the news that anybody wanted to hear, although it is early, and he sounds like things will be good to go for training camp, and he'll have his opportunity to ramp up. And Joey Bosa's a veteran. He turns 30 in July. He knows how to play football. And, you know, the reality is you want this guy to be healthy and firing on all cylinders late in the season when the Bills have kind of had their lull in defensive line production, particularly in the postseason. And Joe, I never thought of it, but I think invoking the name Curtis Samuel is not a bad one, mostly because if you look at the arc that Curtis Samuel had last year, I know it was probably mostly disappointing, but at the end of the day, the guy was still like fourth in target percentage last year for this team. And then he was really important in the playoffs. He caught the fourth down touchdown against Kansas City. That was critical in that game being close at the end. He had a big touchdown against the Broncos in the postseason. And so I think that would be exactly what you're looking for. Some moments in the postseason where it was instrumental in the Bills either winning a game or having a chance to win a game. And so I think that's what it comes down to for Bosa. Obviously, you'd love him to be there all season, available, making an impact. And Bosa's got every incentive to do that. I mean, there's incentives in his contract for sacks and playing snap percentages. And then, of course, like, he's not 1,000 years old. That's what people need to remember. He turns 30 in July. Pass rushers age very, very well. And this is a huge year for him because if he goes out and meets production thresholds and plays a bunch of snaps, this is his big opportunity not only to earn those incentives that are baked into his contract, but to have the type of year that is going to position him for a $20, $25, $30 million a year contract if it goes the way that it could this year. So I think the Bills are rightfully taking things slow with him. It's all about what he's going to do late in the season for this team. And at the end of the day, there's still Greg Rousseau. There's still A.J. Epenesa. And those are players the Bills have won a lot of games with as their featured defensive ends, not to mention you have Landon Jackson as a third-round pick that – I think most people are excited about. Javon Solomon, year two, gives you a lot of pass rush upside. And then Michael Hoyt does come back after six games, which, you know, ideally you'd have him from the outset. That'd make you feel better about if Bosa had to miss time early. But this is all about late season, making sure Bosa's ready when the team needs him most. And obviously there's a lot at stake for everyone involved for Bosa to go out and have the type of year he's capable of having.
I'm curious if you think that Landon Jackson can take a bigger role early in the season given Michael Hoyt's suspension and if they want to load manage Joey Bosa, right? And what you've seen from him, Joe, coming out of the draft and doing that work, like, is Landon Jackson ready for maybe to have to play a little bit more than maybe they planned on, if that makes sense?
Well, I think he has that type of skill set where you feel comfortable with what he offers in terms of size, length, athleticism, power. Experienced player coming out of the SEC that I thought was very much ascending, getting better every season. And he probably is going to have to. He's probably going to have to. If Bosa is going to miss time early and you don't have Hoyt, use your defensive end three. I think he's going to play 35 to 45% of the snaps if that winds up being the case. And, you know, you heard Sean McDermott talking about Landon Jackson this week and called him mature and conscientious. And I think those are good words to invoke for a guy that's young and probably is going to have to play. And, you know, Sean McDermott, I remember at the owners' meetings when he was chatting with the media and talking about even before the draft, he's like, you know, it was with the suspensions of Hoyt and Ogunjobi. He said, look, we're probably going to be really light or really young on the defensive line to start the year. And it's certainly shaping up for that to be true. And so I think that's the exciting part is maybe Landon Jackson gets some more reps that maybe wouldn't have been there otherwise early on. And, you know, he's a player that, due to the depth of the defensive end class, you know, he was available at the top of the third round as, you know, so many different guys came off the board. I think in other classes where it's a more normal defensive end class, he might have been the fifth or sixth defensive end taken. And so it could be a big opportunity for him, and obviously you hope that he can cash in on what's in front of him.
Joe Marino with us on the Wester Hotline Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, no James Cook at OTAs this week, the only player that was absent, which has kind of reset the conversation on his worth to the Bills and the contract dilemma and whether he'll hold out or not. I wanted to ask from you how you see his value to the offense. We were looking just the other day trying to figure out, you know, what is fair for him to get on another contract per year. It's a very simplistic way of looking at it. There's none of the guaranteed stuff, but there are only three backs in the league that make more than $15 million per year. And someone like McCaffrey, for instance, is so integral to the Niners' plan of what they want to do as an offense, and Derrick Henry and Barkley too. How do you see Cook in that conversation? Not even how good is he is one part of are you worth the $15 million that he wants, but how do you see his worth to the Bills' offense more than how good he is kind of isolated from that?
Yeah, I think that James Cook's a valuable player to the Bills, and his ability to make explosive plays in the run game is a huge factor for this Bills team. And he's a very nuanced runner that has good vision, and he's had great growth, right? Like, the Bills preach draft, develop, re-sign, and to hear the Bills talk about initially James Cook coming in as a, you know, we drafted him to be a pass-catching back that has now turned into a guy that is their lead running back that has really evolved, whether it's his own running style to be more physical with consistency, to reduce and eliminate fumbling issues, to take care of drops, to improve his vision and his overall instincts as a runner in the zone scheme. It's been really good. I mean, the only thing that is really missing is the pass pro component to his game, which does limit his role on passing downs and, you know, 2-minute situations. And the Bills don't use a lot of running back to block. I think there was like 50 plays all of last year where the Bills actually kept the running back into block on over, 580-something dropbacks. So they like to use a lot of five-man blocking surfaces. So the lack of pass pro is mitigated because of the way that the Bills play offense. But there is still, 2-minute drill, end-of-half situations where you need to have a back on the field that you trust that, hey, if we can't send you out on a route, that you can stay in and handle things. And I think that's where things get dicey with James Cook, and I think that's where they lean into Ty Johnson in those types of situations. So I think that James is a very good player that is extremely valuable to the Bills, but I think that the Bills are valuable to James Cook as well. When you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, when you have the run scheme like the Bills have with the run blocking, I think there's a lot that James benefits from being in this ecosystem to play his best football. And I think that's part of the equation. And I do wonder what factors are important to Brandon Bean. He hasn't paid a running back, and we've lived this life really for the last decade where it felt like every single running back that was available for trade, a first round running back, a free agent running back, the Bills are in. And then it never happens, right? They haven't really made a huge investment cap wise into a running back. And so is there something that could be different? I mean, the Bills know who James Cook is. Are they adverse to meeting those demands because they don't want to put those types of resources into the position? There's so many questions in play here. And, obviously James Cook is going about this in a unique way that we haven't necessarily seen yet under Brandon Bean, where, negotiating through the media and making statements with his attendance and different actions, putting the house for sale, whatever you would want to point to. It's a different strategy that a lot of extensions have been handed out in Buffalo, and they've always been tied to consistency and work and showing up. And, so it's definitely a really uncharted territory. I'm curious to see how this ends. And I guess back to the root of your question, I do think that James Cook is a valuable player, but I also think that the Bills are very valuable to James Cook.
And spending a lot of resources cap-wise on a running back or any position is far different now when you take a look at dollars than it would be even 6-7 years ago, where you might think, let's say $10 million even for a running back, Joe, is a far different deal now than it would be several years ago. But when you start getting up to 15 over that, I think that's when it becomes polarizing for fans, right? Of, man, you're talking about only three running backs in the league that make $15 million or more. But you're not also, if you get to 10, it's a different situation than it was 5-6 years ago when the cap was far different.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's important to approach this conversation from a percentage of cap at signing,
yes,
more than APY, average per year, where
agreed,
the cap's gone up, what, over $50 million over the last 2 years? Comparing APY today versus 2 years ago doesn't make sense. And it's going to go up again, right? Probably another $15, $20 million this year. And so that's why I've really rooted a lot of my conversation less in APY and more in percentage of cap. And when you look at a percentage of cap, I think the sweet spot for James Cook is 4.5%. You have Josh Jacobs is at 4.7%, and then all those other guys, the John Taylors, the Kamaras, McCaffrey, Henry, Barkley, they're higher than 4.7%. Then you have James Conner, who's at 3.8%. And I think right in the middle of that, and just below Josh Jacobs, is the appropriate place to slot James Cook, so 4.5%. Well, 4.5% of the cap right now is $12.5 million. Well, that's not 15, and I think James wants 15. And I think there's, you might listen to me say, you know, pay him 12.5, but don't pay him 15, and you're saying, well, Joe, you're splitting hairs over $2.5 million. Yes, I am. Well, because $2.5 million is a lot of money. Yeah. There's only 26 players on this 90-man roster that have a 2025 cap hit of more than $2.5 million. And you start, you know, $2.5 here, $2.5 there. Now all of a sudden you're talking about not being able to pay a starter because you've went more than what you believe is the correct valuation of a player. And so the thing, the benefit to James Cook, if he were to wait, if you were to go to 4.5% of whatever the cap's going to be next year, that's going to be higher. So does this all just end in James Cook, you know, showing up at some point, probably when it's mandatory OTAs and, of course, for camp, having the best year that he possibly can? And then, you know, I think the Bills might be willing to say, hey, if you think you can get that, go see if it's there. This is what's waiting for you here, and it'll be here for you. But if you can go beat it, go beat it. And I think maybe James Cook will be surprised at what contracts are out there for him and which ones aren't.
And if he does find it, then you get a comp pick. So there's always that.
Maybe. Depending how it falls. You're right.
And be calculated in your own decision-making, right? That's the right thing is, like, I love draft picks probably more than anyone in the whole world. But I'm not going to completely change my free agency strategy and reduce my player pool because I'm obsessing over a comp pick, right?
Right.
I still want to go get the players that I think are most important to help my team and as opposed to, you know, a third or a fourth round pick the next year.
Sure, that's right.
And by the way, for a comparison to Joe's point about the percentage, there are only five Bills who make over 4% of the cap. Josh is at 13%, by the way, which is obviously. Mm-hmm. And then Deion at 7.16, Dawson Knox at 5.22, Matt Milano 4.37, Ed Oliver 4.03. Even if they were to franchise tag him next year, Joe, which you could do, at $13 million, you're still talking 4.5% of the cap.
Right. Yeah, well, and I think the 2026 projection, if I'm not mistaken, is a tick over $14 million. And that becomes very, very difficult,
right?
Because that's a hard number, right? I mean, that's a hard commitment to.
Yes.
There's no wiggle room with that. And I think, yeah. I don't think that's going to be on the table for the Bills.
And I like the way you frame, too, as we transition to a different thing I wanted to get to. The $2.2 million, like how it might not sound like a lot, but it could be. You know, that's a signing. I was looking at Elijah Moore's contract earlier, and his is, I think it's 2.5 is the cap hit, at least for Elijah Moore, so that number's pretty similar. And you did an episode recently, Joe, on figuring out the Bills' hierarchy, like what it might look like, target share, how much the Bills, you know, throw the ball in the first place. And Moore, you know, got some headlines this week. You know, it's OTA, so take it with a grain of salt, but looking pretty good. And I wonder, you know, how you see the whole picture, but even more specifically, Elijah Moore getting some work in with Josh Allen and the offense, how you kind of see him figuring into this puzzle.
Yeah, it's really difficult. So I posted an episode that's technically my Thursday episode, but I went ahead and posted it yesterday because I do content. I want it to be out there. I don't want to sit on it. So I put it out there.
Yep.
And I tried to figure out this Bills 2025 target puzzle, and it's tricky because I don't think there's that many targets available, and not necessarily vacated targets, but just generally speaking, how many times are the Bills going to throw the football? And in nine games under Brady in 2023, Josh had 33 passing attempts per game. In 19 games last year, and of course I'm not factoring in the Patriots game, 19 actual games, Josh threw the ball 29.7 times per game. So I think he's going to throw the ball about 30 times a game. And then you have to take out, 4% of those for spikes, batted balls, and throwaways. So you're left with about, 17 times 30 is 510 and taking out 4%. That gets you to 490 targets. That's all I have to give. And maybe you would say that the Bills might throw the ball more this year because the defense might be better, or they didn't throw the ball as much late in games because of blowouts and being ahead, and they ran the ball, and sometimes Josh didn't even play the fourth quarter. Well, if the defense is better, that's still going to be true. And here's the reality. The Bills last year they're just not a high-volume passing team. They were 26th in passing attempts last year, 28th in percentage of plays that were passes, 5th in percentage of plays that were runs. The Bills are not a high-volume passing team. They just aren't. They haven't been under Brady, and I don't think that's going to be different this year. And so now you have 490 targets to spread around, and I'd encourage you to go through the process. Try to figure out that puzzle. Take 490 and spread them out to all these receivers, and you're going to be left thinking, boy, I wish I had more. And if the Bills throw the ball 3 more times a game and you get 50 more targets for the year to work with, that's meaningful. And the margins are pretty slim, but how do you factor in Elijah Moore? And basically the way that I approached this was I said, between Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel, and remember, Curtis Samuel had 10.5% of the targets last year in a year where he was injured a lot, missed a lot of time. They still, when he was available, they got him the football. I said for Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel, you probably have to look at that as 80 combined targets, and it could skew heavily one way. I think there's a chance that one of those players is completely irrelevant in this offense this year, just because it's a very difficult puzzle to crack. And so there's going to be chemistry that's going to be established. It'll take on a life of its own, right? That'll all happen. But I think we have to acknowledge that of all these players, and I know it's everybody eats, there's just going to be some guys that we're talking about right now that maybe even we're excited about just aren't going to have that big of a role, and it'll sort itself out. But if you're being honest about how many times the Bills are going to throw the ball, it's probably not going to be that many. If you go to FanDuel right now, the over-under for Josh Allen passing yards is 3,775 yards. Like, it's understood that the Bills are, Burrow's going to throw the ball 680 times this year. Josh Allen's going to throw the ball like 520 times. It's just how they play. We'll see how it takes on the life of its own, but cracking this puzzle is difficult because there's just not that many targets to go around.
Joe Marino, you could check out him putting that puzzle together on his Thursday episode, but I'm like you. If I do one like Wednesday night for the next day, I'm just putting it out. Why not? Why wait on it?
Yeah.
So check that out, and of course, NFL Scouting Podcast as well, and Bill Squad Show. So as always, great conversation. Thanks, Joe, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Joe Marino on the Western Hotline. We might kind of want to take his advice, putting that puzzle together a little bit.
Well, what I found interesting was when he said about Curtis Samuel, and he's right. Like, you think about, he really wasn't much of a factor, and yet you look down, and he still had 46 targets. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think right. that he really kind of wasn't available a lot, he wasn't right. on the field a lot, you get to 46. Do you know how many Matt Collins had?
I know I heard Mike Shope say this the other day, they had the same amount of receptions.
They did.
Did Hollins have more targets?
Only 4 more, 50.
So almost the same?
Yeah. They were very similar in their number of targets, but Hollins played 3 more games.
And Hollins played, I would imagine, snap count, like per game, Hollins played a higher percentage. It felt that way. It felt that Hollins was on the field more often than Samuel was, even when Samuel would be, active for the game, maybe dealing with something, He makes a good point, though.
I'm going to find that right now real quick.
I think I definitely agree with him, though, that like everybody's not going to meet their expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's not realistic. You might not know which one is going to fall short. Some guys have injuries. Some guys just don't figure it out. Some guys have declines that you don't see coming. But they have enough receivers in the top 5 where I'm pretty confident that 3 or 4 of them are going to hit.
Mac Hollins was on the field by far more than any receiver on the Bills last year.
Yeah.
He had 721 snaps.
Yeah.
The next closest was 598 by Keon Coleman.
That's a big guy.
Curtis Samuel was only 378. So here you have a guy, 721 versus 378.
And they got the ball about the same amount.
Yeah.
Very interesting. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a reaction to Joe's comments there about putting the target puzzle together on the Bills, we'll get to that. I also want to ask Sal about corner as we continue to break down the defense this offseason as well. A lot to get to. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. We have Tom Gazzola coming up at 9 o'clock to talk some hockey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
But an open segment for you coming up next here in WGR.
I think that James is a very good player that is extremely valuable to the Bills, but I think that the Bills are valuable to James Cook as well. When you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, when you have the run scheme like the Bills have with the run blocking, I think there's a lot that James benefits from being in this ecosystem to play his best football. I think that's part of the equation, and I do wonder what factors are important to Brandon Bean. You know, he hasn't paid a running back. Is there something that could be different? I mean, the Bills know who James Cook is. Are they adverse to meeting those demands because they don't want to put those types of resources into the position?
Joe Marino from his visit with us last segment, Locked On Bills. If you missed that, you can check it out in on-demand audio, WGR550.com, and the Odyssey app. Good morning. It is overcast looking right now. Not the greatest weather. Hopefully we get some sun a little bit later on tonight. I had a volleyball game last night. All that sand talk from earlier in the week, I might have been asking for it. Karma, me not knowing anything about sand apparently, and then last night in the rain, it's just like cement. Basically, in spots, you gotta rake it.
Like diving in wet sand is the worst thing in the world.
It's because it clumps. Yeah, the clumps of it like got in my shirt last night at one point in time. That's no fun. You get home and you're like walking through the house and like, oh crap, there's sand falling out of my shirt. Run, yeah, not great. Anyways, that conversation we had with Joe. His assumption, and we could play this out, maybe you know, in the next hour, we can try to piece together who we think will get what. But his assumption, from the get-go is the Bills are not going to be this crazy, pass-heavy, tons of pass volume that you might see, like, in Cincinnati. Last year, he mentions Joe Burrow throws the ball over 600 times, or even, like, Josh Allen had a season where he threw over 600 times. That's right to do, right? There's no question about that. Like, the Bills are going to look, in terms, we've not talked much pass versus run ratio this offseason because we saw it work, and nobody expects it really to change for any reason, correct? How much the Bills
pass
the
ball.
You mean
like what the ratio is or how heavy they are?
Yeah, like the Bills.
No, I would expect about the same. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
About the same.
Like there are ebbs and flows to the league.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe pass volume goes back up a little bit over the next couple of years. But I don't know why the Bills would feel the need to start that change.
No, I think it's game will dictate it.
Sure.
Score will dictate it. If you go back a couple of years ago, there were more blowouts. So, you know, you kind of run it a little bit more or whatever. Maybe last year, not as many, but still had some games in hand. All that stuff matters. The Bengals, part of the reason why they threw the ball as much, they were losing.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they have Joe Burrow and they have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Why wouldn't you throw it to them?
But they were always playing catch-up.
But they were playing catch-up. Their defense stunk.
Yeah. That's a good point. And the Bills' defense, even that's what's... I've got this bet with Jeremy that's going to be up there forever, probably. McDermott will have a bottom 10 defense on defense at one point in his career.
Bottom 10 defense?
Yeah, at any point in his career.
Like he'll an have a overall on points or yards?
I think we did by DVOA.
Okay.
To try to make it like schedule reliant a little bit. If their defense allowed them to be able to play the style of offense that they wanted last year with all the injuries they had and all the holes, DeMar Hamlin starting the entire year and Kyrie Elam having to start several games last year when they might not have wanted to do that. And I mean, their D line wasn't as deep as maybe it is right now. That's for sure. That defense with all those pieces still managed to be okay. Maybe not in the playoffs and in the Chief game. They probably wanted more at their disposal. But you know what I mean? Like, if the Bills with McDermott and Bobby Babich running the show with all those holes on defense still don't look like what Cincinnati looked like last year, I don't know that they ever will. I don't know how it would happen that they ever would. Because will they ever have as many holes on defense as they did last year? Were there at least, will they ever have to reach into their depth as much as they did last year? Is maybe a better way to put it.
I mean, you can never predict injuries, right? That could happen. I think, though, Joe, the issue is when you say it like that, the overall numbers lend to your point, which are correct.
Mm-hmm.
But there were games last year where they just were not good on defense and did not get the job done.
Sure, the Ram game.
Right, the Ram game. The Lions game late, right? They were great in the first half.
The Ram game was a Bengals-y game, right?
Right.
Allen... I watched the highlights of that game actually the other day. That game might get lost to Bills history because they lost it because the defense couldn't stop. They couldn't stop Puka Nacua, right? Puka Nacua was just running through them in the secondary. Josh Allen was some of the throws he made in that game. I hope they don't get lost to history because they probably will because they lost. He was dealing that day.
Yeah,
he throws a touchdown pass to Mac Hollins where there is no room to put this football.
The one on the inside shoulder, left shoulder there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had the throw to Khalil over the middle. Khalil breaks it free.
Yep.
And then how about the one down the sidelines? Oh, my God. That was right in front of me. It was incredible.
Shakir like almost gets blasted as he's catching.
Yes.
Like, that ball has to arrive at that exact split
second. It was incredible. You're right. But I'm looking at some of the scores and remember, the Baltimore Ravens game, 35 points given up. And then the following week, they go to Houston. They buttoned up late, but 23 points. They allow Nico Collins over the top. A little busted coverage there, right? Even the Dolphins here at home, that was a close game throughout. They gave up 27 points. That's too many, right? You can't do that.
Yeah.
Rams, Lions. So, yes, I agree with you. Like, overall, the defense was okay. It was fine. It did the job. The Ravens game in the playoffs, they had to rely on turnovers, which they did quite a bit last year.
And that was a lot of the season, too. That was a lot of the season. There were games where
you
like, they
made
were
the point many turnovers. Times, and I agree with you. You can't count on that many turnovers. Generally, like, you're not going to get as many as the Bills had. It's great. Right. You coach it. You want it. You want to be aggressive. So any coach will tell you, no, we coach it. We preach it. That's fine. No doubt. It's not a game plan. Right. It's a, we're gonna do our best to get these. You can't go into a game going, oh, we're going to be fine because we're going to get the ball three times. From the You can't. You try it. It's not a game plan, though.
And that's been my point on offense, too, that you can't rely on them totally for forcing, and you also can't rely totally on not having any of your own. Historically good last year at not turning the ball over. That leads, though, to really, I mean, you could say this about the whole roster, I would say. I've mentioned how I believe their receiver room, Moore and Palmer, not necessarily in that order, in for Cooper and Hollins, is an upgrade. The defense, and kind of allowing the Bills offense to play that style. Like they won't have to play the way the Bengals do. I see their defense improving. Even with the turnovers probably regressing and coming back to earth. Would you not say there's no position on defense right now that you think will be better? That's why I wanted to ask you about corner. That's the only one where maybe there's a possibility it's not. But wouldn't you say right now that it's likely they will be better at cornerback in 2025 than they were in 2024? That they will get better results on the field? Or would you say that shouldn't be a gimme? Because Rasul Douglas was not what he was 2 years ago, but he also wasn't terrible.
He wasn't terrible. He never took the ball away.
He didn't do
that. In this year where this team was taking the ball away every single game,
right?
He never got one. And he was the guy that was doing it all the time at the end of the year before.
Yeah. But would you expect Hairston, White, Jackson, whatever the combo is, whoever's on that opposite side of Christian Benford, will give the Bills results as good, if not better, than what Douglas was last year?
I think at least the same. Right? So I think you're about the same.
Okay.
I would hope for better. I just don't know what you're going to get. I don't know if Max Hairston, and you'll have more depth. You'll have more depth. If you have to turn to somebody, you have something to happen like you did in the Kansas City game, you have more depth. But the actual play to play, if it's going to be better, I'm not sure about that, to be quite honest with you.
I think the hope would be that they are better.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, a lot of that's on your first round pick. A lot of that's
100%. If it's
how
not.
How ready is he?
100%. I had this conversation with a couple other media members at OTAs. Do you think that the Bills, would prefer, if they could just choose how it would go, they would choose that Max Hairston wins that job?
100%. 100. Yes, I think absolutely they would.
That would validate the pick, and you feel real good about what you're doing.
Right.
Right?
Especially for the beginning of the year. You might expect, hey, if he wins the job going into week one, and he gets a couple of months under his belt, you know, your hope would be that there's even more growth as he's playing, so by the time you get to January, he's an even better player, a more fully formed player than he was, you know, in September.
Are you confident they're better at defensive tackle? I think, but with Walker but Ogunjobi after 6 weeks, it might take a little while here.
I would say yes. The likelihood is they are better. TJ Sanders, too, in the second round.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I would agree then.
You know the difference?
When you add in all that.
We got to hit a break.
Yep.
But the biggest difference there would be I wouldn't predict that you're going to get to the middle of this season and the Bills are adding defensive tackles off the street, which they have done in each of the last two seasons.
Again.
Not just to the roster. Those guys played.
Goes to your depth again. That's right.
So you're right. Your depth is better. 803-0550 is the phone number. Coming up at 9, we'll talk to Tom Gazzola about the Edmonton Oilers and the potential for a rematch against the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. So stay tuned for that here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Supply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Tom Gazzola coming up next on the Edmonton Oilers. We've been talking a little bit about the Bills and receiver breakdown. Not the receiver breakdown, the target breakdown more so that Joe Marino led us into in the 8 o'clock segment. Sal, do you know in what order, I'm sure you could get this, in what order are the Bills wide receivers going in fantasy currently? Average draft position early on, it's only May 29th. What order are they going in? Who'd be the top Bills receiver?
Are we talking pass catchers or just receivers?
Just receivers.
Regular fantasy football.
Yep.
This isn't dynasty,
nope.
Right?
Okay. Just regular
PPR
drafts.
Leagues. Okay.
Yep.
Just want to make sure we're good here.
Yep.
I bet you Keon Coleman is first.
He is second.
Then it's got to be Khalil Shakir.
Khalil Shakir, they're pretty close together. Shakir is the 43rd receiver off the board. Coleman is 54th. Who would you guess is after Coleman then?
Josh Palmer.
Josh Palmer at 71. Kind of like that.
Mm.
I kind of like Palmer as the 71st. It's like end of your draft. And then you keep scrolling down, and you don't see another Bill receiver until you get to 110. 110 among receivers.
I mean, I don't know how long these like averages go back, but I bet you right now Elijah Moore is going before Curtis Samuel.
He is. He's going at 110, and then Curtis Samuel at 121 is the current.
Makes sense.
Order.
If I'm drafting,
yeah,
and I get later in the draft, I'm taking more of a chance on Elijah Moore, I think, than I am a Curtis Samuel.
Now that I would might be your
think,
flyer.
I might think that like overall real football with the Bills, I might put Curtis Samuel higher in the depth chart. But if I'm getting that late, I'm getting maybe more upside and bang for my buck by drafting Elijah Moore possibly.
That's a good way to put it. More like Samuel has a role and is good at it if he can stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
More, there's more of a, in part because we haven't seen him on the Bills, there's more of a question about what is his role, what is his skill set,
mm-hmm.
how does he mesh with Josh Allen. There's more uncertainty, which gives you an idea of some, you know, maybe a higher ceiling. in essence. To some hockey when we come back. Tom Gazzola out in Edmonton is going to join us on the Oilers, who can advance to the Stanley Cup Final and create a rematch against the Florida Panthers. That is tonight, Game 5. Oilers up 3-1 in the series at Dallas. It's an 8 o'clock puck drop. We'll talk about it with Tom coming up next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.